For millions of American kids, joining the marching band is a rite of passage. With me now is author and former band kid, Kristen Lane, and she recently returned to her home state, Indiana, to find out why old-fashioned marching bands have remained so popular in a world in which the internet and hip-hop are a lot more popular. Her book, American Band, is published by Gotham Books, and I'm very pleased to welcome her to our show. Hello.
Hello. It's very nice to be here.
And when you look over the list of some of the people who were in marching bands, Bill Clinton, well, I know he played saxophone, Lionel Richie, Dolly Parton, Gwen Stefani, John Bon Jovi, and you also?
Yes. I was in a marching band in Indiana, not surprisingly, I suppose.
And what instrument did you play?
Well, I didn't play an instrument. What they called then a pom-pom girl. Now they call them color guards. So we marched and danced with the band. It was my way to get in.
Because that is a problem for a lot of kids. They want to be in that band, and they don't play an instrument.
That's right. And that's one wonderful way to get in. But actually, bands like the one that I profiled, which was in Elkhart, Indiana, so northern Indiana, that's a band that takes all comers. So there were students who were ninth graders, freshmen, who were starting out learning an instrument. They were typically put in the pit where they learned percussion. But they actually could start, unlike if you think about it, any sport that they could have tried out for, they could actually start in high school.
So is the marching more important than the music?
Well, that's the thing about marching band. They're tied intricately together. And so the marching is, in fact, very important. And it truly is, you know, moving to music. They learn them together. They learn their pieces separately. Then they learn their marching, and then they put them together.
You say that marching bands are as American as apple pie. What makes them so American?
You know, that's a question I enjoyed coming back to and around to as I was working on the book. First of all, high school marching bands have a uniquely American history. Although there are marching bands, you know, youth marching bands in other countries, here in America, we brought music into the schools kind of from those concert bands, like John Philip Sousa's touring concert bands. When those touring bands began to kind of lose their audience, those teachers, the people who'd been in those bands, became teachers, band directors in the schools. And the school music movement kind of took hold from that. And so we have in America a long tradition that we don't always remember of teaching music in the schools.
But they started as military bands.
They
wound up transitioning into something more like the football and basketball bands.
Well, and that's true. When you add kind of our love of competition and of sports, I think, you know, marching bands throughout much of the middle of the century were intimately associated with all of our sports. In the years since then, though, marching bands have taken off on their own. And so in high schools now, you have not a parade band per se, which, of course, anyone who's seen like the Macy's Parade here will see people marching down the street in a parade band. Not the show bands that you see, say, at halftime in college football games, but this unique tradition that is the high school competitive marching band. And there they are, the show.
So that's something that is a change since you were in a marching band?
It was happening when I was in band in the mid-70s, in that we had our contest. At that time, it was the Indiana State Fair Band Day. It was held at the end of the summer. We practiced a whole month for our competition. And then right before school started, before we would go on to the football fields and play halftime and pregame, we had our own contest. And actually, my senior year, our band won the State Fair Band Day, which made us at that time the champion band of Indiana. Now what happens is that you have a 14-week competitive season that parallels the football season. And that's what's new.
But so this is for kids who don't feel they can go out to sports teams. But the appeal seems odd because we're in a time when there are all these other distractions for those sorts of kids, computers, cell phones, DVDs. And we're talking about bands, even if they play updated rock and roll songs, they're playing kind of old-fashioned music. And they sure aren't playing anything that's current or anything that would come out of hip-hop.
Some bands do, but the bands that I followed in Indiana, they are not only not playing current hip-hop, they're not necessarily playing current pop songs. These bands are playing Samuel Barber, Tchaikovsky, Shostakovich.
Oh, really?
They're playing the classics on the move.
And Indiana also, in its colleges, has a lot of jazz programs. So is Indiana a hotbed of old musical traditions that the rest of the country is ignoring?
Oh, that's a good question. I'd like to think so, I suppose, being a native. But I think it's not just Indiana. I think these communities are keeping live music alive for a lot of people. So the students, for example, in the band that I followed, they played a swing show that season, which meant that they played Swing, 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 which is the John Williams take on Sing, 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 the old Benny Goodman, you know, classic. And in so doing, they learned something about swing music. The jazz band plays Ellington, and we have really Wynton Marsalis and the Essentially Ellington competition here in New York City to thank for that.
My guest is Kristen Lane, who's written a book called American Band, Music, Dreams, and Coming of Age in the Heartland. Our listeners who spend time in New Hampshire and Vermont will recognize her from her commentaries on Vermont Public Radio. Her book, by the way, is published by Gotham. In many high schools, the marching band becomes a kind of tight social group. It's probably one of the most distinctive subcultures in a high school. What makes it such a bonding experience? Is this for the kids who don't go out for sports? Is that what ties them together?
I think in part it is for the kids who maybe are not, you know, can't go out for a sport, can't find that bonding experience through sports. Maybe also kids who don't have a home wherever they are in classes. What I found in this high school band, though, was an interesting combination of the school's very best students. The valedictorian was one of the students that I followed, the kids who were in the AP English classes, but also then the kids who often did very poorly in school or who were in special education classes and were being, you know, wanted to be part of a larger community.
Would the majorettes be the same girls who go out for the cheerleader jobs?
I suppose that's still true.
You found that it was a religious group of kids, mostly Christians, I'm assuming. Is that unique to marching band? Is there something about the experience that draws people of faith, or is it just representative of something that goes on in Indiana?
I think what I was seeing was something that has occurred since I left small town middle America. And what I felt that I was seeing was something that had changed in that quarter century plus in the heartland, so in middle America, whether it's Indiana or Texas or wherever. And what I felt that I came back to was a place where evangelical Christianity had saturated the community. So the reason I saw I ran into students everywhere in the band who, for whom their faith was the most important thing in their lives, wasn't because it was something about the band, really. It was more about that kind of community. And what I saw, interestingly, I think, in the band was that these students were trying to exercise their faith on the field with each other. And I think that was something that was unusual, perhaps, in this kind of confluence of band and you know, a particular period of time.
It might have also felt like this was a place that they could get together and have some kind of sense of connection. Now, sports teams in America, especially high school and college teams, also often have a little prayer before they go out and a prayer after the game. We're seeing that more and more. Was there a religious aspect to the marching band?
The director was very clear that he did not see band as a religious practice on the field. So what I saw on the field with the students really went under the radar of what this fine director was trying to create. I think the way he thought about the band is that he was trying to create great American citizens. What these students were trying to do was to take what they heard in their churches and what they had heard also from teachers and a former school principal, that they should live their religious faith at all times, no matter where they were.
What is the town of Elkhart like? How big is it?
Elkhart is about 50,000 people. It is a once fine manufacturing community. It was once known as the band instrument manufacturing capital of the world. That's where if you have a trumpet or a clarinet or a flute in your closet or perhaps, you know, in your room, you can look at it and see that it was manufactured in Elkhart, Indiana. That was actually part of the reason that I chose this particular community and this band to follow so that I could talk about the band instrument manufacturing industry. I didn't know until I got there that I would be seeing it in its final days, really. much of the production has been moved offshore in the time that I was there and since then.
But the kids are still using the instruments, although now they're from China.
That's right, or Korea. But the community itself seemed to have a history that was like many that I saw, including my old hometown in central Indiana. These were communities that, even when I was there in the 70s, and certainly in the first half of the 20th century, had, you know, proud tradition of, you know, there were people who owned stores. We sort of know the story. Strong middle class. That time has passed now. And so what I saw there were people who were afraid for their own children. They themselves might have grown up there. They might have had their own parents there. But now they weren't sure whether they should be telling their children to return.
Could you have written this book about marching bands in New Hampshire, where you now live?
No, I don't think so. I think to really describe the tradition and that intense involvement, I needed to do it someplace where there was that length of tradition and that strong focus.
What happens to these kids after they leave school and after their time the band is over? Do any of them pursue musical careers?
Many of them do. Indiana has a number of fine schools of music and is known for turning out fine band directors, many of whom then want to stay in Indiana because the communities support them so well. I mean, for people like me from New Hampshire, it's amazing to see the community come out and insist that they have good band directors. This band of 250 kids in a school of 1,400 had 7 band directors, full-time staff, and a music secretary.
Are there adult bands of this sort?
There may be, but what I saw with the adults, and actually there is an adult community band in Elkhart, where I saw the adults being involved with the band actually was with their own children and their children's friends. There were more than 300 adults, family members, who came in and volunteered to help this band create its show and put it on.
Arts programs around the country are really suffering these days with cutbacks. I understand you're donating a portion of the proceeds from your book-related events to school music programs across the country.
That's right.
Is band one of the few areas where music programs still survive in parts of the country, especially the Midwest?
I had a band director describe to me that marching bands are accessible music. They're the way that many people, many parents in particular, will discover music through their children, and they'll learn to appreciate the music. So marching band particularly, is like a wedge. You get that into a family or into community, and then you build your symphony or your orchestra on top of that, and then your choirs on top of that. And that's what I felt that I saw over and over again. So where there was a strong marching band, there were also strong orchestras and choirs as well.
And, of course, the Elkhart Symphony Orchestra is one of the most famous in America. No, I guess not. But I'm sure they're going to Chicago. Or is Chicago nearby?
Yeah, it's about 2 hours away, so it's near
and
enough.
And Detroit isn't that far.
Right. I would say, though, that their love of music is somewhat bounded by family and community. These families like to see their children and then their grandchildren come back and play the same instruments and some of the same kinds of music. I wouldn't say that it necessarily broadens out as widely as we might all wish it did.
Kristen Lane's book, American Band, Music, Dreams, and Coming of Age in the Heartland, is published by Gotham Books. Thank you so much for being with us.
Well, you're very welcome.